If you're going to fail, fail forward, because if you can look up and see your goal, you can get up. Les Brown. Hello everyone and welcome to the Horrible Photographer's Guide. My name is Austin, aka Lance Sensei, and today I will take you on yet another failure. This, of course, is the podcast where I take you through my journey to becoming a better photographer and maybe someday a professional photographer. And I share with you my failures as a photographer and the things I learned from them. So today I was going through trying to figure out how can I bring some value to the podcast, some value to you, and give you some thing that you can take and use in your own life. And for me, the thing I could think of was sharing my failures with you again. There's a lot of things that I do want to talk about other than failures, but this failure is pretty fresh in my mind and there's a lot that can be gleaned from it. So I think it's a good thing to talk about. So without any further ado, let me talk about my latest failure. So the failure came as a portrait photo shoot. Now, for those of you who know me, who have checked on my Instagram, my Twitter, any of that, I'm a product photographer more than anything. I find that taking pictures of products is just more fun and less of a hassle than taking pictures of people and portraits. Now, don't get me wrong, I love people. Well, I love taking pictures of people, but I find it to be a pain. People tend to have trouble posing. You have to get permission. You always have that memory of that time. If you edit it incorrectly, that time will be marred and all that. So for me personally, I enjoy product photography more than anything. So this was kind of a stretch for me, but not too much, because I started out as a portrait and posing photographer and just kind of found that it wasn't for me. So my wife was having her friends come over, and her friends live in Tokyo. We live in North Japan. So it's a good 5 or 6 hour drive away, 300 or so kilometers, which is what, 150 miles, I believe. So it's a pretty good distance to come. So my wife's friends were coming from all the way down there just for the weekend, and they wanted to see us, and they asked me a couple of days before to take pictures. So, of course, a couple of days before, what I like to do if I'm taking portrait photos is to really try and get in the heads of the customer, the person I'm trying to take pictures of. And so I asked my wife to ask them what kind of pictures, and they're very vague and said, "Oh, anything's okay." So that right off the bat was something that was against me. For me personally, if I'm going to go into a shoot, I like to know exactly what people want, and I want to know that what I can do, what I can't do. And then once we get those shots out of the way, then experiment a little bit. But before that, I like to have that structure, and just going into it with no structure, for me personally, it doesn't work out very well. And as evidenced by what you'll hear later on. So I didn't have a plan, and the weather was not on my side at all for this shoot. So a couple of days before, it was bright and sunny, and we had a beautiful golden hour at 4 o'clock. And we have a beautiful park with a grove of thistles, purple, beautiful flowers that just glow in the light. And there's also a bamboo patch where light shoots through and you can get some beautiful shots. And I would have loved to gone there, but the day before, it started to rain. And so here in northern Japan, if you go out after a rain, you're going to be attacked by mozzies or mosquitoes. And obviously with a 2-year-old kid and a mom and camera equipment, rain and mosquitoes aren't a good thing, so we ended up just having to stay within our neighborhood, which is fine, but it kind of ruined what I had planned. So I had to readjust on the fly. And if there's one thing that I've learned from being a photographer, especially the people, is you have to be flexible. You have to learn how to read the people, read the room, and figure out what works and what doesn't. And so I was getting everything ready. I was going flipping through Pinterest, through Instagram, different things, trying to figure out the settings and other things that I need. And so the day finally came. It was gray and muggy out, and the kids came over to play. So I set up my home studio. I rolled up my futon bed and I threw it in the closet so I had room. I pulled down my long white paper background, set up the lighting, tore down my studio lighting for product photography, and set up for portrait photography. My portrait setup is two lights. We have two lights in the back, one pointing at the background to illuminate the background and set the background off away from the person. And then we have a highlight halo light that is shooting at the back of their head to really get that highlight shot on the back of someone's head. Then I have two soft boxes that stay either at both sides of a person at 45-degree angles to get a nice even shot, or I have one up on top and they're holding a reflector to really get a nice shot from light coming down and a little bit of radiance coming from above, so it doesn't have such hard shadows. So that's the way I set it up that day, was to have the two lights in the back and then the front two lights at a 45-degree angle. And I adjusted the lights. I put my daughter there. I had my daughter sit down and I took some test shots just to see where the settings would be. And then everything was set. So when the people came over to take the pictures, I would be ready. So the people came over and we had a good time. Everyone was drinking coffee. We were having a good time. And then the kids went upstairs, and that was time for me to take the studio photos. So studio photos, it's not that hard. Just trying to get the attention of the kid was probably the most difficult thing. A two-year-old is pretty difficult. I didn't have any real good toys left from when my daughter was younger. So it was hard to rattle things and squeeze things and make them squeaky to get the attention. So I had to really get the mom involved and have her sit beside me and call the child's name and get them to smile. So that wasn't bad at all. But it had been a while since I had taken the studio shots. And so my settings were a little off and I put them on auto first to figure it out. And I accidentally never took them off of auto until a couple shots in, and then I went and put all my exposures back to manual and set everything correctly. So when putting things in auto, I ran into a little bit of a problem because auto read my lights as cloudy and not indoor lighting, which changed everything to a really strange white balance. And so that was my first problem. The lighting wasn't read correctly. And then the rain stopped, and I had the bright idea to try and find a puddle outside so I could take some nice reflective shots of the kid jumping in a puddle or looking in a puddle, and maybe I could get the mom involved and we could have a beautiful reflection shot. But I couldn't find anything, but the kids still wanted to go outside and take pictures. So this again caused a little bit of a problem because I had to switch my settings all around again. And so to make it quick, so I didn't have to really mess with the settings and have an upset child and have the mom yell at me, I put everything on an aperture priority and set the ISO at 100 and just let it do its thing. And so I set it, and the aperture priority mode, set everything at, I had ISO 100, and then for some reason that got switched to ISO 1000, and my shots have been so noisy. It's been a pain to try and correct them. So once I was finished, I took the shots and I looked at them, and they were wonderful in the camera, of course, and I adjusted what I could inside the camera. Then I took them on my computer, and I took the raw files and I adjusted them, color corrected, and really brightened them up a little bit, and really adjusted the saturation, the contrast, what I could to make them look fairly good. However, being as though this was a impromptu shoot, and I have my settings all over the place, the pictures were a challenge to edit. And if you were to ask me, they are the worst photos I've ever taken. I got some great, beautiful shots of the kid smiling. I edited out some scratches on her face. I was able to color correct so everything looked natural and the lighting looked really good. But for me personally, it was just so busy. It was so noisy. There were little spots everywhere, and I just wasn't happy with the color that came out in the end. So that is a failure for me personally, on a personal level. Now, the mom, she really enjoyed the pictures. However, for me, I didn't really enjoy the pictures or the picture-taking process, which just reaffirms to me that this kind of photography is not something I'm really good at and not something that I personally enjoy. But it's something that I do need to practice to get good at, because, of course, as a photographer, I have the equipment. I have the things to be able to take photos that people want, product photos. I can do that. So it's something I do need to work on, and something that I do think people who are in photography should experiment with, even though you're in the specific kind of photography you're in, maybe sports photography, maybe portrait, headshot, action, anything else. I think it is actually good to go and practice something new. So what did I learn? What is the value you can take from my failed attempt at a child's portrait photography, and take into your own photography or any other kind of field you're in? Well, the first thing would be preparation. If you're in business, whether it's photography, visual arts, anything else, I think being prepared is something that is necessary. I think that it's something that everyone should take into account and prepare. Prepare for the worst, expect the best. I was severely underprepared for this shoot. I had batteries and SD cards, but I had no idea, I had no prep on how to get a two-year-old to react to a camera, how to weigh down lights so the two-year-old wouldn't pull on them and pull them over. I had no idea what the kind of shots I was going for, and that is something that you should really plan out before. If you can have a general idea, theme of the kind of shots that you want to take beforehand, I think that would be extremely helpful. For me, when I'm taking product shots, I know my product is the bag of coffee or the wine that I have in front of me, and I need to tell a story. So if I were to take a bottle of wine and just plop it on my desk, turn on the lights and take a shot, that's pretty and all, but it doesn't tell a story. It doesn't have any texture to it. So if you take that same bottle of wine, you plop it on the desk, you add an antique book and some pens and crumpled up paper, it shows different textures and it shows the message of this is a thinking man's wine, or thinking woman's wine, or thinking human's wine, or taking coffee and spilling a little bit on a desktop with pens everywhere, or candles going, or something like that. It tells different stories, and if you have the thoughts in your mind beforehand to prepare for those kind of shots, I think your shoots will be more successful than just going in blind. Personally, for me, give me something and I can improv easy. But if I'm going to do something quality, I need to have a plan set in place. The other thing that I would say that I learned from this that can be of value to you in any type of business is to know your medium, to know what you're working with. For me, in my studio, everything's flawless. If I have the time and the preparation, I can come out with a stellar shot. I've come out with, you know, pretty good shots considering the equipment that I use. It's not, you know, National Geographic or something you'd see in the Smithsonian or some Louvre Art Museum, but I can come out with some pretty decent shots because I know the medium I'm working in. I know the way the light bounces off. I know how my camera reacts to the light. So if you know the medium you're working in, whether that be PowerPoint, whether that be Python, whether that be CSS, HTML, HTML5, or anything else, coffee, clay, art, teaching, whatever. If you know your medium inside and out and you prepare before you go into something, I think that would make you more wildly successful than just going into something without a plan and just playing in a new medium or a medium you know just a little bit about. And another thing that I learned from this is you can't always trust your equipment. You can't always trust the things you're working with, and you should always double check. My big mistake was not checking everything. I set my camera on auto first to get the settings. Once I got those settings figured out, I switched into manual mode, and I just went off without double checking and triple checking each time I went. And so if you're working with anything, whether that's sports nutrition, meditation, anything else, if you don't check what you're doing and you don't check it against what you want it to be, you'll never know if it's there. So if you're going to create, let's say, a digital art, you're an artist and you're always zoomed in just working on, let's say, the nose of the Mona Lisa. If you always keep working on there but you don't check the shading with something else and you don't check other things in the painting, when you zoom out, she'll have a clown nose and the rest of her body will be pale white. Or if you're working on a sports team, let's say soccer, because it's at the point of recording, it's a FIFA World Cup. If you work only on your defense and you work on just protecting your goal and you don't ever work on offense, going and attacking the goal, one, your attackers and your midfielders are just going to be completely bored out of their minds, but your game will be lopsided. And that's the same with everything. So if you can plan out, know your medium, and you know what you're doing, I think that's applicable and that will make you successful in anything you do. And another thing that I learned from this failure is to admit when you don't know something. My wife's friend came and she said, "Can you take these pictures?" And I've taken pictures of people before. So I said, "Yeah, of course, no problem." But I didn't take into account it was a 2-year-old, and I fell flat on my face. Not only is it difficult for me to get a kid to sit down and smile, but the kid was actually a little sick at the time as well. So not knowing and not asking for help from the mom at first was a huge mistake. It finally took about 10, 15 minutes of the kid just not sitting down, tearing everything down, to finally realize that I need help and maybe the mom can help me. If I can bring in some help, if I can bring in a person who actually knows what they're doing with this person, maybe we can come out with some good photos. So having a plan, getting help, knowing your medium, and checking what you're doing. Those are the four main things that I have learned from this experience and that I will definitely take into my next experience if I am to ever have a portrait photography experience again. This was the biggest fail of my amateur, non-professional yet photography life for simply only one reason. For me personally, it was a fail because I failed to check everything to make sure the settings were correct. I failed to put my SD card into my computer and check the screen to make sure everything was good. I failed to check all my settings. I failed to really get help. I failed to have a plan, even though I was looking at pictures before. I never printed anything out. I never checked how things were made. And that resulted in less than stellar pictures for me. And it's something that, personally, I hate to admit, but, you know, I made a mistake, and this is how we learn. And just as I said at the beginning of this podcast, if you fail, fail forward. Because if you can look up, you can get up, and you can continue on to your goal. And what is my goal as a photographer? My goal is to become good so people appreciate what I do. And my goal is to maybe someday actually make money off of photography. Not just stock photography, which I partake in, but also have people who want me to take their photos on a professional level. And so that's what I want from my photography, and I want you to be able to get something out of this besides just a funny story of me failing flat and falling on my face. So I hope that this has been a good episode for you. Obviously, this is the second episode, and I'm still learning and still getting this streamlined, so hopefully in the future I can get a little more clearer of a podcast. But one thing that I do with this podcast is it is completely unscripted. I have a thought in my head and bullet points of where I want to go, but other than that, I just go and riff, if you can't tell. The reason is because I find that thoughts flow better, and so if you guys like the format that I'm doing, the kind of unscripted, just rambling with a vague theme within the podcast, I would love to hear your comments. So if you want to connect with me, just look up Lance Sensei, LanTzSensi. That's me on almost every single media outlet, social media outlet that I'm on. And give me your feedback. What kind of things do you like? What do you not like? What can I change? How can I bring you more value? Because in the end, the point of this podcast is to bring you value. To bring you value for your professional and budding professional life. And I hope that's what I can bring for you. So thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And I look forward to hearing from you on the internet somewhere. All right, bye. This has been an ALTS Productions. For more information, please visit altsproductions.wordpress.com. ALTS Productions, photo, video, and now audio.